Elhamdülillahi Rabbil alemin ve salatu ve selamu ala seyyidil mursalin. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Bottle of alcohol. Attar's prayer. O Lord of the Prophet, whoever reads or listens to the 23-page booklet, Bottle of Alcohol, grant them a place in Jannatul Firdaus, forgive them and their parents without accountability. Ameen bijahin nabiyyil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The excellence of reciting salat upon the Prophet. A woman once asked Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, My young daughter has passed away. Please tell me a way I can see her in a dream. The Imam informed her of a way she can do this. It came to pass that she saw her late daughter in a dream, yet the latter was wearing tar clothing, had chains around her neck and shackles on her feet. Seeing this frightful scene, the mother began to tremble. The next day, she related this dream to Hassan al-Basri and he displayed extreme sadness. Sometime later, he saw a girl in a dream sitting upon a throne in paradise wearing a crown. She, i.e. the girl in the dream, sees him and says, I am the daughter of the same woman who told you about me earlier. He replied, She told me of how you were being punished. How did this change occur? The girl explained, A person passed by the graveyard and sent salat upon the Prophet. Due to this, Allah lifted punishment from 560 of us residing in our graves. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad. Bottle of alcohol. The second caliph of Islam, Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, was once walking through a street in Medina when he came across a young man hiding a bottle beneath his clothes. O young man, he asked, what are you hiding there? There was alcohol in the bottle, but the young man could not bring himself to mention that. He made dua within his heart. O Allah, do not embarrass me in front of him. Veil my mistake from him. I repent to you and I will never drink alcohol again. After this, the young man said, O leader of the believers, I am holding a bottle of vinegar. When our master Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu asked to see the bottle and looked inside, he found vinegar was indeed therein. Dear Islamic brothers, let us think. When a person repented to Allah sincerely, out of fear of another person, Allah caused his alcohol to become vinegar. Likewise, if a sinner feels remorse over his sins and repents, then Allah can change his alcohol of disobedience into the vinegar of obedience. We also learn that it is possible to repent in one's heart without even moving the tongue, just as it is stated in a hadith. An-nadabu tawba, remorse is repentance. Furthermore, we come to know that it is not necessary to raise the hands when making dua. Even whilst lying down, sitting or walking, dua can be made silently. Quranic verses forbidding alcohol. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إنما الخمر والميسر والأنصاب والأزلام رجس من عمل الشيطان فاجتنبوه لعلكم تفلحون إنما يريد الشيطان أن يوقع بينكم العداوة والبغضاء في الخمر والميسر ويصدكم عن ذكر الله وعن الصلاة فهل أنتم منتهون. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, indeed alcohol and gambling and idols and the casting of arrows to determine fate are impure, satanic deeds. So refrain from them that you may attain success. Indeed, Satan only desires to instill enmity and extreme hatred between you through alcohol and gambling, and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah and the prayer, so do you abstain. Commentary of this verse in Siratul Jinan is as follows. The harms and outcomes of alcohol and gambling have been mentioned in this verse. The tangible worldly harm of them is incurring hatred, whilst the tangible religious harms are one, being deprived of remembering Allah and offering salah on time. We learn evil is that which stops one from offering salah and remembering Allah. Whatever becomes a means for this should be left immediately. The archangel Jibra'il alayhi salam came to the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, Allah likes four qualities in Ja'far al-Tayyar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam asked his companion Ja'far al-Tayyar radiyallahu anhu regarding this, to which he replied, the first quality is that I have never consumed alcohol, even prior to its prohibition. I knew it clouds the mind and I desired for mind to become sharper. The second is that even during the pre-Islamic era, I never worshipped idols, for I knew they were only stones that can neither benefit nor harm. The third is I never fell into adultery, as I considered it to be shamelessness. The fourth is that I have never lied, for I consider it to be dishonorable. Subhanallah, what pure natural disposition. The fourth caliph of Islam, Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu anhu said, if a drop of alcohol fell into a well and a minaret was constructed over it, I would not call azan from it. If a drop of alcohol fell into a river and the said river dried, I would not let my animals graze on the grass that grew in its place. 7 Hadith condemning alcohol. Number 1. Wa'il al-Hadrami radiyallahu anhu narrates, Tariq bin Suwayd radiyallahu anhu asked about alcohol and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam forbade him. He explained, I only make it for medicinal purposes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam replied, this is not medicine but a disease. Number 2. Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma reports, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam declared, the salah of he who drinks alcohol is not accepted for 40 days. Yet if he repents, Allah will accept his repentance. If he drinks again, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. Again if he repents, Allah will accept his repentance. If he drinks alcohol for a third time, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. Yet again, if he repents, Allah will accept his repentance. If he were to drink for a fourth time, his salah will not be accepted for 40 days. Now, if he repents after this, his repentance will not be accepted and he will be made to drink from Nahrul Khabal. The narrator was asked what Nahrul Khabal is, to which he replied, it is a river in hell comprising of the pus of hell's residents. Number 3. As narrated by Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, three people will not enter paradise. He who consistently drinks alcohol, he who cuts ties of kinship, and he who attests to sorcery. Number 4. Conveyed by Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, if someone who habitually drinks alcohol dies in that state, will stand before Allah on the day of judgment like an idolater. Number 5. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates how the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Allah sends curse on 10 people in relation to alcohol. Number 1, the extractor of alcohol. Number 2, he who has it extracted. Number 3, the drinker. Number 4, the carrier. Number 5, he to whom it is taken. Number 6, he who pours it. Number 7, he who earns from it. Number 8, the seller. Number 9, the purchaser. And number 10, he for whom it is bought. Number 6, Abu Malik al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu reports, the beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, people from my nation will drink alcohol and change its name to something else. Instruments shall be played upon their heads, and so too will songstresses sing. Allah will drive them into the earth, and some will be transformed into monkeys and swine. Number 7. Abu Umama radiallahu anhu said, the final Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam announced, Allah declares by my honor, if any slave of mine drinks even a drop of alcohol, I will give him an equal amount of pus to drink. And the slave who leaves it out of my fear, I will give him to drink from Hawzi Qudus, a stream of paradise. What is alcohol? Every such liquid which causes intoxication when consumed is alcohol, irrelevant of what it is made from. A ruling on drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol is a severe and major sin. Reasons for drinking alcohol. Number 1. To socialize with those who drink. Number 2. Ignorance. Just as some people believe that consuming alcohol will do away with grief. Number 3. Attending events which consist of dancing, especially dance clubs. Drinking alcohol is widespread in such places, and there is always a risk of falling into this when observing others do the same. Harms of alcohol. Dear Islamic brothers, there are many medical, moral, and social harms of alcohol. Some of them are presented hereupon. Medical harms of drinking alcohol. Number 4. According to an expert, the human body can counteract the harmful elements of alcohol in the initial stage, and the drinker feels a sense of temporal happiness. However, the body's tolerance is quickly overwhelmed, and the harmful properties of alcohol begin to take effect. Number 5. The liver is the organ most impacted by alcohol and is ruined by the latter. Number 6. Alcohol also increases the strain on the kidneys, and they eventually fail. Number 7. It causes inflammation of the brain and intestines and weakens skeletal system. Number 8. Alcohol quickly depletes the stores of vitamins in the body whilst increasing tiredness, headaches, thirst and nausea. Number 9. Drinking an excessive amount of alcohol can affect a person's heart and breathing and can even result in death. The moral and social harms of alcohol. Number 10. Many innocent people are killed by alcoholics. Number 11. Wives face cruelty and wrongdoing at the hands of drunk husbands. 12. Women are subjected to molestation by intoxicated individuals. Number 13. The children of parents who drink alcohol suffer relatively more from illnesses and weakness. Number 14. Such a person's friends and family are deprived of his love, compassion, sincerity, etc. Safety lies in avoiding alcohol. Dear Islamic brothers, it is due to the many harms of alcohol that Islam has declared it haram. A person of sound intellect will not extend his hand towards that which has numerous harms. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah on the last day should not sit at a dining mat where alcohol is consumed. In another hadith, it is reported, those who go to a person of intoxication in the world, Allah will place them all in hell, and they will curse each other in hell, saying, it is your fault, I am here. One should not organize or attend gatherings which contain alcohol. If one says to himself that he will provide alcohol just for the non-Muslims that will attend and not for himself, then such a person should know that it is forbidden to give alcohol to a non-Muslim too. And whoever does this is a major sinner. How to put an end to alcohol addiction? Dear Islamic brothers, if a person has fallen into a drinking addiction, it is beneficial for him to take the following steps to break this evil habit. Number 15. He should avoid all such friends who consume alcohol and gatherings in which it is found. Number 16. He should repent sincerely and make dua to Allah that he be granted the ability and strength to avoid alcohol forever. Number 17. If he must undertake treatment to do away with this addiction, he should commence it. Number 18. If possible, instead of wasting free time, he should spend it in righteous works, such as attending sunnah-inspired gatherings, spending time with those who love Allah's Messenger, and travelling in the Madani Qafilas. Number 19. If Satan pushes you towards drinking alcohol again, then imagine the following punishments that have been described in hadith. Number 1. If I drink alcohol, I will be raised thirsty on the day of judgment. Number 2. If I drink alcohol, the light of faith will be taken away from my heart. Number 3. If I drink alcohol, angels will strike me with iron maces in hell. Number 4. If I drink alcohol, I will not even smell the fragrance of paradise. Number 5. If I drink alcohol, I will be liable of being cursed. Number 6. If I drink alcohol, I will be given boiling water to drink in hell. Number 7. If I drink alcohol, I will be transformed into a swine in the grave. Encouragement to repent. Repentance holds great importance, and it is Allah's favor upon us that He has granted us such a blessing. If a person happens to fall into lying, backbiting, drinking alcohol, or any other sin, and then seeks forgiveness from Allah whilst feeling regretful, he is then forgiven. Repentance has been encouraged in the Quran just as Allah declares. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا توبوا إلى الله توبة نصوحا. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O you who believe, turn to Allah in sincere repentance such that there is no return to sin. In another verse he states, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُو عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Translation from Kanzul Iman. And it is He who accepts repentance from His people and forgives sins. A hadith explains, أَتَّائِبُ مِنَ الظَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. He who repents from a sin is like he who never sinned. As the listener can hear, it is essential for every Islamic brother and sister to be mindful of repentance. Recalling sins causing anxiety. Utbatul Ghulam Rahmatullahi Alayhi was a major saint of the past. He was once passing by a certain place when he stopped by a house. He suddenly became overwhelmed and began sweating profusely. Someone asked what has caused this, and the saint explained, I once sinned in this house. Whenever I pass by it, that sin comes to mind with great severity, and I fall into steep regret. That is why this state overcomes me. The repentance of Utba al-Ghulam. There was a time when Utba al-Ghulam would commit many sins, such as drinking alcohol, for example. So what was it that caused him to change? The listener is asked to pay special attention to this. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayh was once delivering a speech in a gathering and recited this portion of verse 16 for Surah Al-Hadid. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alam ya'ni lil-ladhina amanu an takhsha'a qulubuhum li-dhikrillah wa ma nazala min al-haqq. Translation from Qazul Iman: has the time not come for those who believe that their hearts submit to the remembrance of Allah and the truth which was sent down? Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi began to explain this verse, and profound efficacy of his words left the attendees in tears. Amidst this gathering, a young man stood up and inquired, "My Shaykh, if a sinner like me repents, will Allah accept it?" "Yes," Hassan al-Basri responded, "Allah will forgive your sins." Utbatul Ghulam was also sitting nearby. When he heard this, his face became pale and he began to shake. He let out a scream before falling unconscious. Hassan al-Basri rahmatullahi alayhi began reciting verses of poetry in Arabic. Their translation is as follows. O consummatious and transgressive youth, do you know the punishment for disobeying Allah? Hellfire is for those who disobey Him, and on the Day of Judgment, you will be subjected to His severe wrath. If you are content with hellfire, ensure you continue sinning. If not, bring your sins to an end. You have put up your life as collateral in exchange for your sins, so strive to free it. Ghulam screamed and fell unconscious again. Upon awakening, he asked, "Will Allah accept the repentance of a malign sinner such as myself?" "Allah, the Most Merciful, even accepts the repentance of an oppressor," Hassan al-Basri replied. Utbatul Ghulam raised his head and made three du'as to Allah. Number 20. O Allah, if you have forgiven my sins and accepted my repentance, honour me with such memory and intellect that I never forget anything I hear regarding the Qur'an or religious sciences. Number 21. O Allah, grant me a beautiful voice, such that even the hardest of hearts become soft upon hearing my recitation of the Qur'an. Number 22. O Allah, bless me with lawful sustenance and grant it in a way which I cannot imagine. Allah accepted these prayers. The memory of Utbatul Ghulam became extremely strong. Anyone who listened to his melodious recitation of the Qur'an repented from their sins. Amazingly, a plate of soup and two loaves of bread were sent to his home every day, and nobody knew where it came from. This continued throughout his life. After narrating this account, the proof of Islam, Imam Muhammad al-Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi comments, "This is the state of whoever repented in the court of Allah. Divine mercy for the young man who wrote down sins. There was a young man who had great fear of Allah, and whenever he committed a sin, he would write it down in his diary. Once, when he sinned, he opened his diary to write it down and found the following part of verse 70 from Surah Al-Furqan written therein. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. Translation from Kanzul Iman: so for those people, Allah will change their sins into good deeds, and Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. Dear Islamic brothers, rejoice. The mercy of Allah is vast, and the doors of His mercy are open for us. It is up to us to feel a sense of regret and shame for our sins. We should remember our transgressions, just like the young man who wrote them in his diary. However, we forget our sins and remember the good deeds we carried out years ago, and even tell people about them from time to time. There is perhaps a very small number of people who have performed Hajj multiple times and do not recall the number of times they did so. In fact, they remember everything and tell others how many times they performed Umrah or Hajj. It is not restricted to this. This also applies to other acts of righteousness. For example, many people are heard saying that they have been reciting the Lailul Khairat for X number of years, that they recite such and such amount of Salat upon the Prophet every day, or that they offer a certain amount of voluntary worship, etc. In this manner, everyone seems to remember the number of their good deeds but forget their sins. In fact, if they feel regret due to a sin, they consider it to be a source of stress and that it should be forgotten. Like this, they remain concerned about forgetting their sin, whereas the principle is that one should do good and forget it, and yet keep his sins in mind. This is because there is no benefit in remembering good deeds. On the contrary, if he remembers his good deeds and informs others about them, it can be harmful if it results in ostentation. The benefit of keeping previously performed sins in mind is that one will continue to feel remorse, and he will eventually be granted the ability to repent sincerely. Also, if one continuously feels regret, then inshallah, this will also benefit them. The young man who would remorsefully write down his sins in his diary, the amazing outcome of this was that a part of verse 70 from Surah Al-Furqan was miraculously found written inside. The woman who asked about repentance. The companion, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, mentions, "One night I offered Isha Salah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. On the way back, I came across a woman who asked me, 'I have committed a sin, can I repent for it?' I asked what sin she had committed. She explained, 'I fornicated, and when a child was born as a result, I killed it.' I told her she was ruined and there was no scope for her to repent for this. The woman fell to the floor from shock, and I continued to walk. Then a thought arose in my mind. I had told this woman something without first consulting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. I went to him and explained the entire situation. He said, 'You have done something grave. Have you not read this verse? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ. Translation from Kanzul Iman: and those who do not worship any other God with Allah. Abu Hurairah continues by saying, "As soon as I heard this, I set out in search of her and asked everyone I met, 'Tell me about the woman who asked me regarding a ruling.' Such was my state that children began to think I had lost my senses. In the end, I found her and recited this verse to her. When I arrived at this part, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Yubaddilullahu Sayyi'atihim Hasanat." Translation from Kanzul Iman: so for those people, Allah will change their sins into good deeds. She was overcome with joy and exclaimed, "I give my orchard away for the sake of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam." Dear Islamic brothers, we should never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. We should never become heedless of repentance and ensure to repent regularly. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ala Muhammad. How to become pious, to attain fear of Allah and love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Watch the Madni Muzakara conducted by Mawlana Ilyas Attar Al-Qadri on Saturdays, and also attend the weekly gatherings of Dawat-e-Islami every Thursday. You can even stay there overnight and offer Tahajjud Salah if Allah wills. Travel in Madni Qafilas at least 3 days every month and fill in the Pious Deeds booklet daily whilst reflecting over your actions. Make sure to hand this in to the relevant responsible Islamic brother of your locality on the first day of every month. Insha'Allah, by the blessings of this, you will attain the mindset to adhere to the Sunnah, avoid sin, and remain vigilant in protecting your faith. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad.